Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today, the stone, who is Jesus, a stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Dear friends of Christ, this is the third week in a row we find ourselves in a vineyard. Jesus liked telling stories about them, and he tells great stories. But another great storyteller is C.S. Lewis, and if you've ever read his works in the Tales of Narnia from his book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, in that story he talks about Jesus. He talks about his church, and we can relate because a great storyteller puts you into the story. And so we can relate to Edmund because Edmund is us. There's not a temptation on earth that Edmund didn't like. He was so easily deceived. And of course, he did things that he shouldn't have done. We can relate to the problem of evil because we have evil in our world. And we understand what it's like to live in a place where we're under the curse of sin, suffering, pain, and death. And sin, suffering, pain, and death is all around us. We can relate to that. And we can relate to the Savior of the story. He's a lion. His name is Aslan. He's a Savior, and he saved those people who lived in sin, suffering, pain, and death, and he gave them hope. That's our Jesus. He saves us, and he gives us hope. C.S. Lewis knew how to tell a good story, but not to be outdone, Jesus, too, tells good stories. We call them parables, and we have a parable today. Again, Jesus masterfully puts us in the middle of the parable. In fact, we are the parable because the vine and the vineyard, that's us. That's his church. And he transports us into a whole new world, a place where he's the King of Kings, a place where he is the Lord of Lords. And he then serves us. We are his church. We are his flock. We are his vineyard. In the Old Testament lesson, God even sings of his love for us. Did you pay attention to that? Beautiful song. God says, "Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning my vineyard." Jesus loves his vineyard. Jesus loves you. He gave his life to save your soul from hell. He rose so that you might be his own and live with him in his kingdom forever and ever. He loves you. And the story of Jesus is true. The parable is true in this sense that it's talking about you. But it's most importantly talking about Jesus. Jesus is a capstone. He is the rock of ages. He is the stone of our salvation. He is a stone that the world rejected. They rejected him. The world rejected the rock of our salvation. Which is why Jesus said, "The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes." And so our theme for this morning, the rejected stone of salvation. There once was a great landowner. It's a good story. There once was a great landowner who had his farm being run by a bunch of nasty farmers. Bad guys. Immediately, we're sucked into the story where good and evil exist together. It's a world where people hate Jesus, and people hate those who talk about Jesus, the prophets, the pastors. And they mock them, and they hit them, and they stone them. You can sense the ingratitude in our story. God made a vineyard. He expected great things from the people. But evil entered. Wickedness changed their hearts. And the hope for the vineyard, the hope for God's people looked pretty gloomy. In Isaiah, we read the gloomy part of the story. God built a vineyard. He looked for it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. wild in sin, wild in rebellion, worshiping other gods. And now I'll tell you what I'll do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I'll break down its wall, and it'll be trampled down. I'll make it a waste. No more rain. I'll let the animals just feed on it. Whole lot of bad news for the vineyard. God sounds angry. He sounds fed up. Surely there's no hope for the people of the vineyard. But remember, there's no hope without Jesus, and He is the stone of the vineyard. So Jesus begins His story, He being the stone, the rock of our salvation. There is a landowner who planted a vineyard, and he did everything he could do to make that vineyard successful. And then he rented his vineyard out to some farmers, bad guys, and they had a job, a responsibility, take care of the vineyard. Let the fruit produce. Preach the word in season and out. Call people to repentance, to walk in the ways of the Lord. So that from the fruit, the landowner could share the profits with the farmers. Good story. It is, especially considering the hidden meaning, because Jesus was talking about the Jewish leaders. They were the wicked farmers. Now, Paul had said positive things about the people of Israel, the Jewish people, in Romans 9. Theirs, the Jewish people, is the adoption of sons. Theirs is the divine glory. The covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship, and the promises. Theirs are the patriarchs and the prophets. And from them is traced a human ancestry of Christ, who is God over all, forever praised. All of that, from the children of Israel, from the Jews, from the Jewish people. And yet these people did not appreciate the blessing of the Heavenly Father that He provided for them. A son. Jesus, the Messiah. So Jesus continued his story. The wicked farmers take care of the vineyard until it comes time for the harvest. The grapes are ripe and they're ready for the picking. Everything's ready, so the owner of the vineyard wants his share of the profits, so he sends his servants to go get his grapes to collect. However, instead of sharing the profits, these wicked guys, the bad farmers, the people of the vineyard, decide they're going to keep the grapes for themselves. They're going to run things their way. Do things their way. Keep it all. And what are the servants that the landowner sent? They beat one, killed another, stoned the third. The crowd listened intently as Jesus continued his story. You could hear a pin drop as they wondered what was going to happen. What would happen to the wicked farmers? Swift justice? Call the police? Punish them the way they deserve? No, Jesus continued. The owner sent other servants, more than the first time. And they did the same thing to them. The people gasped. Why would you send more servants? Why would you keep sending people into that place where they die? What kind of story is this anyway? And what kind of story was Jesus telling? Where's the justice? Of course, Jesus was talking about the Old Testament prophets that had been rejected and killed. The story went on. Finally, the landowner sent his son. Now Jesus had the crowd. They all had children. They knew how you love your children. Why? Why would the farmer send his son? Why would he send him into harm's way? Knowing what those wicked farmers might do And sure enough, what do the wicked farmers do? This is the year, let's kill him and take his vineyard. And you can almost hear the crowd gasp, not the son. They shuddered in horror, and then Jesus gave them the final blow. They took the son, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now you can picture the crowd in your mind as Jesus tells this great story, and they're all wagging their heads and shaking their heads. No, this isn't a good story. It can't go this way. This is bad. Shaking their heads in disgust. That's when Jesus stopped telling the story. Just stop telling the story. Every story needs an end, not this story. Jesus let the people finish the story. And he asked the crowd, therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes back, what will he do to those tenants? And the people gladly finish the story for him. He'll bring those wretches to a wretched end. That's what they deserve. Good storyteller. They killed the son. They killed the son. Of course, Jesus was talking about himself, and as Jesus stood there talking to the people who would one day crucify him, do you think he had a tear in his eye? These religious leaders were the bad farmers, and they didn't get it. They were the bad farmers who would one day kill Jesus, and Jesus had often warned them. He asked them to repent. He pleaded with them to repent. He pleaded with them to return to him, but they refused. And Jesus said in Matthew 23, woe to you, teachers of the law, you Pharisees, you're hypocrites. On the outside, you look as though you have God's approval, but on the inside, full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Jesus wanted them to repent. He wanted them to believe. He wanted to save their souls. He did everything he could. He sent all the right people. He said all the right words. But they refused. So Jesus decides tough love. Sometimes tough love works. He decided to hit them between the eyes. Maybe that'll get their attention. So he won't mince words, just puts it right out there. So Jesus quotes Psalm 118. It was a psalm that the people sang every time they went to the temple to worship. It's a song that they all knew. Song like you know songs too. Okay, if I were to say, for example, well, finish the phrase, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Now you know it, right? Or this verse from Psalm 118, which Jesus quoted. I bet you can finish it. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. And how about this one? This is the day the Lord has made. And Jesus asked, have you never read the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Tough love happens when you tell the people you love what they need to hear, even if what they need to hear hurts. The Pharisees immediately knew what Jesus was talking about. He was accusing them of being the bad farmers. Then Jesus spoke these chilling words. Therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to people producing fruits. And the one who falls on this stone, the one who falls on Jesus, the one who rejects Jesus, will be broken into pieces. And when it falls on anyone, it will crush him. Jesus is a stone. Jesus is God. Reject him at your peril. Follow him and be saved. Follow him and be saved. You're God's vineyard. You are his beloved. You're not the bad farmers. You believe in Jesus. You confess him. You receive his grace. You're not the bad farmers who rejected all of that and turned against the Father and turned against the Son. You don't. He is the rock of your salvation. He is the joy of your salvation. The hope of your eternal life is built on Him. That's why these words amaze us. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it's marvelous in our eyes. What's a capstone? Well, think of an arch. When you build an arch, the contractors put each stone in place carefully with mortar until they reach the top of the arch, and it's that middle stone, that capstone, that keeps the whole arch from collapsing. It has to be a perfect stone. And Jesus is the capstone. And He's done His job perfectly. He is our beautiful Savior, the Jesus who never sinned, that He might save us, the capstone of His vineyard, the capstone of the church, the capstone, your capstone, and He holds everything together for your good. God chose Jesus to do the capstone work. Without Jesus, there's no vineyard. Without Jesus, there's no hope. Without Jesus, there is no joy. Without Jesus, there is no future. He is the capstone. He is the rock of our salvation. As the psalmist says, it's marvelous in our eyes, and our epistle lesson said, many, though, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. They reject Jesus. And the epistle continues, their end is destruction, their God is their belly, their glory is their shame, with minds set on earthly things. Bad news for those who reject the capstone. But the epistle continues, our citizenship, vineyard, our citizenship is in heaven. And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him to subject all things to Himself. The glory of God in His vineyard. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.